1. Tenel Ka sensed the hole in the force the instant she entered the bedchamber. It was lurking in the black depths of the corner farthest from the entrance. A void so subtle, she recognized it only by the surrounding stillness. She moved quickly through the doorway, her spine tingling with a ripple of danger sense so delicate it made her blood race. Before her lady-in-waiting could enter the room behind her, she looked back over her shoulder and called,
"That will be all, Lady Aros. Ask Didi too to lock down the nursery."
"Lock it down, Majesty."
Aros stopped at the threshold, a slender silhouette still holding the evening gown Tenel Ka had just removed.
"Is there something I need to—"
"Just a precaution,"
Tenel Ka interrupted. Her robe was still hanging inside her refresher suite, so she was standing in her underclothes.
"I know our embassy should be secure, but this is Coruscant."
"Of course."
Aros dipped her chin.
"The terrorists. This rat warren of a planet is absolutely teeming with them."
"Let's not be too disparaging, shall we?"
Tenel Ka chided. She casually reached down and unfastened the thigh holster where she carried her lightsaber.
"We did have to call on Colonel Solo to dispose of a few ratches of our own recently."
"I didn't mean anything negative about the Colonel,"
Aros said, practically cooing the reference to Jason. After his recent heroics defending Tenel Ka against the traitors trying to usurp her throne, he had become something of a sex symbol to half the women in the Hapes Consortium, Tenel Ka included.
"Quite the opposite. If not for Colonel Solo, I'm sure Coruscant would have sunk into anarchy by now."
"No doubt,"
Tenel Ka said, casually shifting her grasp on the holster so that she held her lightsaber by its hilt.
"Now, if you'll excuse me, I believe I can turn down my own sheets tonight."
Aros acknowledged the order with a bow and withdrew into the anteroom. Tenel Ka used her elbow to depress a tap pad on the wall. Half a dozen wall sconces glimmered to life, revealing a chamber as ridiculously opulent as the rest of the embassy's royal wing. There were three separate seating areas, a life-sized holonet transceiver, and a huge homogeny wood desk stocked with stacks of flimsoplast bearing the Hapen royal crest. On the far side of the chamber, a dream-silk canopy shimmered above a float-rest bed large enough to sleep Tenel Ka and her 10 closest friends. Despite the two sconces flanking it, the room's farthest corner, the one near her refresher suite, remained ominously dark. Tenel Ka could not sense any sort of optical field keeping it that way, but then again the only thing she could sense was, well, nothing. She reached out with the Force to make certain Aros was not eavesdropping from the other side of the door, then ignited her lightsaber and took a few steps toward the corner.
"You would be wise to show yourself,"
Tenel Ka said.
"I have no patience for voyeurs, as you should well know by now."
"I'm a slow learner."
The darkness melted away, revealing a tall, shadow-eyed figure with a melancholy echo of his father's famous lopsided grin. He was dressed in black GAG utilities and smelled faintly of hyperdrive fuel, as though he had come to her straight from a space hangar.
"And I don't usually get caught. My camouflage powers must be slipping."
"No, Jason. I am just growing better at sensing your presence."
Tenel Ka deactivated her lightsaber and tossed it on the bed, then smiled warmly and opened her arms to him.
"I was hoping you would find time to call."
Jason cocked his brow, then let his gaze slide down her body.
So I see.
Well?
Tenelka asked.
Are you just going to stand there gawking? Or are you going to do something about it?
Jason chuckled, then stepped out of the corner and crossed to her. His force presence remained undetectable. He was so accustomed to concealing himself that he did so even around Tenelka. But she could tell by the shine in his eyes how happy he was to see her. She slipped a hand behind his neck and drew his mouth to hers. Jason obliged, but his kiss was warm rather than hot, and she could tell that tonight his heart was not entirely hers. She stepped back, embarrassed to realize how insensitive she was being.
"Forgive me if I seem too joyful," she said, able to perceive now the sadness that tinged his hard eyes, the grief that tainted his clenched jaw. "Tomorrow is Mara's funeral. Of course you have other things on your mind."
Jason's snort was so gentle that Tenelka almost did not hear it.
"It's okay."
He took her hand, but the softness had vanished from his face, leaving in its place only the stoic, unreadable mask that he had worn since his escape from the Yuuzhan Vong.
"I wasn't thinking about Mara."
Tenelka eyed him doubtfully.
"Well, not exclusively," Jason admitted. "I'm happy to see you, too."
"Thank you, but I'm not offended,"
Tenelka said.
"Our thoughts should be on your aunt tonight. Have you found her killer yet?"
Jason's face flickered with emotion. Whether it was anger or resentment was impossible to say, and something like guilt flashed through the force so quickly that Tenelka was still trying to identify it when Jason closed down again.
"We're still working on that."
Jason's tone was defensive, and his gaze slid away in... could that be shame?
"We don't have many leads, and I don't like the direction they're going."
"That is very cryptic,"
Tenelka observed.
"Can you—"
"Not yet," Jason said, shaking his head. "It's still early in the investigation, and I don't want to taint anyone's reputation."
Tenelka frowned at the implication.
"You think it was someone inside the GA?"
Jason flashed a mock scowl.
"Did I say that?"
"Yes."
Tenelka looped her hand through the elbow of his black utilities and changed the subject.
"But it was thoughtless of me to ask about the investigation, especially with the funeral tomorrow. I hope you'll—"
"Don't apologize."
Jason detached himself and moved to the nearest couch, then sat on the arm.
"The truth is, I haven't been doing very much to find her killer. The Alliance has higher priorities at the moment."
"The war?"
Jason nodded.
"I'm sure you're receiving the military's briefing, Hollows."
"Of course."
In fact, the Hollows had been arriving twice a day for nearly a week now, along with urgent requests for Hapen reinforcements, which Tenelka could not provide.
"Don't tell me that Admiral Neothel has prevailed on you to talk me out of my last fleet."
Instead of answering, Jason slipped over the couch arm onto a cushion, then sat staring into the flame tube that was the focal point of the seating area.
"I see,"
Tenelka said, astonished that Jason would agree to even attempt such a thing. He knew as well as she did that granting the Alliance request would place both their daughter and her throne in profound danger.
"There is nothing to send, Jason. As it is, the home fleet is barely enough to secure the consortium from my own nobles.
You still need to hear this. Jason continued to stare into the swirling tongues of blue inside the flame tube. You're aware that Corellia and Bathaui are moving against Kuat, right? Tenel Ka nodded.
While the Huts and Kamenor make preparations to attack Balmora.
She retrieved her dressing gown from inside the refresher, then added,
I do watch those hollows they keep sending me.
Sorry, just making sure, Jason said. But what the briefings don't say, what they can't say, is that after the battle at Balmora, the Confederation is going to mass its fleets at Kuat. Whoever wins there wins the war.
Military planners always think the next big space battle will end the war.
Tenel Ka slipped the dressing gown over her shoulders and returned to the seating area.
They're usually wrong.
This doesn't come from the planners, Jason said. I've seen it. In the Force.
Oh.
Tenel Ka dropped into a chair adjacent to Jason's, stunned by the implications of what she had just heard. If Jason's Force vision was accurate, and she knew enough about his Force powers to think it would be, the Confederation would soon have a massive force in position to threaten Coruscant herself.
I see why you are worried.
Worried might be an understatement, Jason replied. So would terrified. The Alliance just doesn't have the strength to stop them yet.
Yet?
Tenel Ka asked.
Are you telling me that Thraken Sal Solo wasn't the only one building secret fleets?
Jason shook his head. Sorry. I'm talking about the Wookiees. Kashyyyk is certain to assign their assault fleet to our command, and that will tip the balance back in the Alliance's favor.
I doubt the Confederation is going to wait that long,
Tenel Ka said, almost bitterly. Alliance holochannels were filled with impatient speculation about the endless debate on Kashyyyk, with the commentary ranging from simple impatience to accusations of cowardice.
Are you telling me the public reports are misdirection?
Not a bad idea, but no, Jason said. I'm telling you that our agents assure us it's a matter of when, not if.
In this instance, when is if,
Tenel Ka said.
Wookiees are very stubborn. By the time they finish their deliberations, the Confederation will be storming Coruscant.
I hope you're wrong. Jason tore his eyes from the flame tube, then met Tenel Ka's gaze. For once, she could sense his emotions through the Force, could feel how frightened and worried he truly was. But I just don't know.
I see,
Tenel Ka said, finally starting to realize what Jason was trying to tell her.
And you didn't come to ask for the home fleet?
Jason shook his head. Not really.
I was afraid of that.
Tenel Ka sank back in her chair, calling on the Force to keep her heart rate under control, her thoughts focused.
So you only came to warn me that the Galactic Alliance is about to collapse?
Well, that's not the only reason. Jason grinned and cocked an eyebrow. Tenel Ka groaned.
This is no time for jokes, Jason. Your timing is worse than when we were teenagers.
Okay, then I could use some advice instead, Jason said, accepting the rebuff as gracefully as he had when they were younger. Have any? Tenel Ka's answer was immediate.
The Jedi could do something. Perhaps they could launch a stealth X-raid. Or perhaps Master Skywalker could speak to—
I asked for advice, not wishful thinking. Jason's voice was suddenly sharp.
The Jedi won't lift a finger to help us. They're practically traitors themselves.
Jason, that's not true,
Tenel Ka said, refusing to be intimidated.
The Jedi have supported the Galactic Alliance since its inception, and Master Skywalker is on the same side you are. If the Alliance is to be saved, you two must put aside your differences and work together.
A flash of fear flickered through Jason's eyes. Then he looked away, reminding Tenel Ka of some petulant courtier refusing to acknowledge a rebuke.
And if we can't?
He asked.
Can you stop the enemy's advance without the Jedi?
Jason shook his head.
Not at the moment. And maybe not with them.
Then what choice is there?
Tenel Ka made the question a command.
The Jedi Council is unhappy about your coup, but the Masters will not stand idle while the Alliance falls, especially not if you grant concessions.
Jason fell silent a moment, then turned to face Tenel Ka.
It's more complicated than that. Luke hasn't been himself since Mara died.
His dark brows arched in concern.
He barely talks to anyone, and he's drawn in on himself so far he's practically cut off from the Force.
Surely you don't expect him to remain unaffected by his wife's death.
It's more than grief,
Jason said.
You heard about Lumia?
I heard that he truly killed her this time.
Tenel Ka's answer was cautious, for the net had been full of reports linking Lumia's death to Mara's, until the Jedi Council had issued a terse statement asserting that Lumia's demise involved other matters.
It's hard to believe the timing was purely coincidental.
It wasn't, Jason said. I'm afraid it was a vengeance killing.
A vengeance killing?
Tenel Ka shook her head in disbelief.
Even if Master Skywalker would do such a thing, it doesn't make sense. The Jedi Council itself said that Lumia had nothing to do with Mara's death.
Luke didn't discover that until after he killed Lumia. And that's when he began to draw in on himself.
Jason leaned forward, propping his elbows on his knees and staring at the polished Larmel stone between his boots.
I think he's having a crisis of confidence, Tenel Ka. I think he's stopped trusting himself. And the Force.
Tenel Ka frowned. She had the feeling that Jason was forcing his emotions, that he was merely trying to be concerned while secretly relishing his uncle's mistake. And who could blame him? Master Skywalker had accused Jason of some fairly terrible things lately, such as collaborating with a Sith and staging an illegal coup, so it would only be natural to gloat when his denouncer did something even worse. After a moment, she said,
"Perhaps you're right, Jason. That would explain why Master Sebatine turned me away when I tried to call on your uncle."
"Luke wouldn't see you?"
Jason was incredulous.
"Then matters are worse than I thought. He can't be up to his duties."
"That is more than understandable."
While it saddened Tenel Ka to think of Master Skywalker's pain and Ben's, she shared Jason's alarm. Now was a disastrous time for the Alliance to be without its Jedi.
"But Master Skywalker is not the only member of the Jedi Council. You can still ask for their help."
"I can try," Jason countered. "But I've already reached out to individual Masters."
"And?"
"They're all against me."
Jason spoke matter-of-factly, merely reporting the truth as he saw it.
"They think I'm trying to take advantage of the situation. Until I have Luke's support, I can talk myself breathless. The Jedi are not going to cooperate. Tennel Kah felt a sudden deflation as she realized just how correct Jason was. It only made sense for the Masters to close ranks at a time like this, and the growing gulf of suspicion and ill will between Master Skywalker and Jason was hardly a secret. Of course they would be suspicious of any attempt to press the Jedi into service, especially while their leader remained incapacitated.
I see.
Tennel Kah rose and stood staring into the flame tube.
Perhaps if I talked to the Council
and convinced them you're part of my plan. Jason stood behind her. The Council is blinded by their suspicions. They refuse to see that I'm only doing what is best for the Alliance. Anything you say will be viewed as repayment for my help against Lady Algray and the Corellians.
Tennel Kah nodded.
You're right, of course.
The true nature of their relationship remained a closely guarded secret, and only they knew that Jason was the father of her daughter. But he had saved her throne, and Jedi Masters were not fools. Even if they believed she was sincere, they would suspect her judgment of being influenced by gratitude. She shook her head in despair and turned to Jason.
What are you going to do?
We've given Admiral Boitu command of the 1st and 6th fleets. So maybe he can do something brilliant to stop the Corellians and Bothans before they reach Kuat. Jason tightened his lips, then said, but honestly, our best hope is still the Wookiees. And that's almost no hope at all.
Tennel Kah nodded.
The briefing hollow mentioned that they have rebuffed all attempts to hurry things.
They have. He looked away for a long time, then finally met her gaze again. If we can't stop the Confederation, what happens to you?
Tennel Kah answered immediately, for it was a question to which she had been giving much thought lately.
I'll continue to hold my throne until the rebels consolidate their victory and turn their attention to Hapes. I'll put up a hard fight at first to see if I can force a peace negotiation, but I won't subject my people to an invasion I have no hope of stopping.
I know you'll do the best thing for Hapes, Jason said, sounding slightly amused. I was asking about you and Alana.
About us?
Tennel Kah was surprised by the question, for the answer was as obvious as it was painful.
You must know the answer to that already.
The color drained from Jason's face. What about hiding? I could ask the Falanasi to take you in.
Tennel Kah smiled sadly.
That will work for a time, Jason. Perhaps even until the Confederation grows tired of looking for us. But no invader can rule Hapes without Hapen blood on the throne. And whoever Confederation installs as their puppet won't tire. The Pretender will be too frightened of me or Alana trying to return. And she'll keep looking until we're dead.
Jason's shoulders slumped, and he dropped back onto the couch and cradled his head.
Then we have no choice.
About what?
Tennel Kah asked, alarmed by the desperation in his voice.
Jason, if you are considering using something like Alpha Red...
We don't have anything like that. At least nothing that wouldn't kill us, too.
He took his head out of his hands and looked up.
What I mean, Tennel Kah, is that you have to give me the home fleet.
Tennel Kah felt her jaw drop.
Jason, you know what will happen.
It will take even Hapen nobles time to organize a rebellion, he said, and the Alliance only needs your fleet until the Wookiees commit.
Tennel Kaa shook her head.
Jason, I can't risk a rebellion.
You can. And you must.
He rose and took her by the arm.
You said yourself that any pretender to your throne would never stop looking for you.
I don't matter,
Tennel Kaa said. Jason was squeezing her arm so hard it hurt, but she didn't want to appear frightened or angry by trying to pull free.
I won't put my subjects through another civil war.
I don't care about your subjects. I care about you and Alana.
Jason pulled her closer.
And I won't take chances with your lives.
The decision isn't yours to make.
Tennel Kaa wondered how much of the conversation Jason had planned before coming here. If he had deliberately linked her fate and Alana's to the Alliance's in a bid to talk her out of her last fleet.
I must look after my subjects first, my family second.
Then look after your subjects, he insisted. The Confederation isn't interested in a unity government. What do you think they'll do with the galaxy if they win the war?
Jason had thought this conversation out in advance, Tennel Kaa realized, and it made her heart sink to see just how carefully. The Confederation would redraw the galactic map, probably with the Hutts or the Corellians claiming control of Hapes. She glared down at Jason's hand and did not look away until he removed it.
I'm not wrong about this,
he said, stepping back.
The Confederation will do what barbarians always do. Divide the spoils.
Tennel Kaa nodded, but moved away from the seating area and stood looking at the wall. He would sense her feelings through the Force, but at least she would not debase her throne by allowing him to see tears in the eyes of the Queen Mother.
You're right, of course.
I'm sorry, Tennel Kaa, Jason said, starting toward her. But if you don't give me the fleet, what do you think the Corellians are going to do to the Consortium? Or the Hutts?
Tennel Kaa held her hand out behind her, signaling him to stay away. Jason was right. She had no choice but to give him the fleet. But she had been queen long enough to know that even when there was no choice, there was opportunity.
I will give you the fleet, Jason.
Jason stopped 2 steps behind her.
Thank you, Tennel Kaa, he said,
having the good grace to sound grateful.
You're saving the...
Not yet, Jason,
Tennel Kaa interrupted.
There is one condition.
Very well, he said. I'm hardly in a position to bargain.
That's right. You aren't.
Tennel Kaa blinked her eyes dry, then drew herself up and turned to face Jason.
You must make peace with Master Skywalker.
A shadow fell over Jason's face.
There's no need to worry about the Jedi, he said. They won't be interfering any more. You can be sure of that.
I am not worried about interference,
Tennel Kaa said.
You need their cooperation.
Jason took a step back, as though he had been pushed.
I'm not sure I can make that happen. It takes 2 to make peace. And Luke...
Peace, Jason. That is my condition.
Tennel Kaa took him by the arm and started him toward the door.
And may I suggest you start by addressing your uncle as Master Skywalker?